Well, I was just wondering if maybe you could return to your seats. Occasionally, we have guest speakers that ask you to move. First off, I'm not a guest speaker, and secondly, I'm not going to ask you to move. So if you've not seen me up here in a while, my name is JR. I'm the associate pastor, and if you choose to come next week, you'll get to hear me again. Pastor Mike is in Haiti and then in Texas, and, you know, so you get me. You know, the funny thing is he started our series that's running through Thanksgiving last week, and for the life of me, and nobody even helped me out after first or second service, I can't remember what he titled it. I really don't. It's like thankfulness or the attitude of gratitude or something. But I do know what my title of my message was going to be today, and it's giving thanks because he, meaning God, tells us how to say thanks. And one of the things I was thinking about is I thought that I would start my message with you today on giving you at least this week's top 10 things that I'm thankful for. The first one is, I am thankful for turn signals, especially when other drivers use them. I am thankful for the fuel that I save living in Squim, driving 5 to 10 miles an hour under the speed limit, following other drivers. I am truly thankful for soap, deodorant, and toothpaste. I hope you know what I mean. I am thankful for opposable thumbs. Think about all the tasks opposable thumbs make possible. Holding things, hitchhiking, which, by the way, we shouldn't do. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumb wars. When's the last time you had a good thumb war? I love playing with kids that have, their thumbs are like half my size. Coin tosses, and most importantly, texting. I am thankful for indoor toilets. And in last service, somebody said indoor showers. And on a day like today, I think we're thankful for both of those, being indoors. I'm thankful for hair. Whether it grows on my head, my face, my arms, my back. Hair is a good thing. It warms us, helps to identify us, allows us to express our creativity or style, and it also keeps us humble when we start to lose it. I am thankful for mosquito repellent. Don't ask me why I picked that this week. I think the mosquitoes are in hibernation or something, but the irritation, the itch, the whine of their hideous buzzing in my ears. I'm thankful for the dividing lane bumps on highways and freeways. Yeah, and some of you are too, I know, because you've been saved from sideswiping or crashing into something, sideswiping some of their car because you happen to rattle over the top of those little lifesavers. I'm thankful for toilet paper. Just imagine what it would be like without it. Nobody would shake with their left hand. Okay. I'm also thankful for diversity. Actually, I really am thankful for diversity. I think to a degree life would be completely boring if everyone looked the same, if they thought the same, if they acted the same, or they even believed the same, especially if it was me. Okay. That one didn't go over so well last service either. You get it? All of you would be me? How boring that would be? At least for you. Okay. There was a video that I watched. It was quite a few weeks ago. It was in June sometimes. It was a video that I happened to see during my week of residency, which means I'm not a doctor. I'm taking my master's, okay? So I saw this video, and I've been waiting and anticipating to show it to you. And so, will you watch?
You think this is just another day in your life? It's not just another day. It's the one day that is given to you today. It's given to you. It's a gift. It's the only gift that you have right now. And the only appropriate response is gratefulness. If you do nothing else but to cultivate that response to the great gift that this unique day is, if you learn to respond as if it were the first day in your life and the very last day, then you will have spent this day very well. Begin by opening your eyes and be surprised that you have eyes you can open. That incredible array of colors that is constantly offered to us for pure enjoyment. Look at the sky. We so rarely look at the sky. We so rarely note how different it is from moment to moment with clouds coming and going. We just think of the weather. And even of the weather, we don't think of all the many nuances of weather. We just think of good weather and bad weather. This day, right now, has unique weather. Maybe a kind that will never exactly in that form come again. The formation of clouds in the sky will never be the same that is right now. Open your eyes, look at that. Look at the faces of people whom you meet. Each one has an incredible story behind their face. A story that you could never fully fathom. Not only their own story, but the story of their ancestors. We all go back so far. And in this present moment, on this day, all the people you meet, all that life from generations and from so many places all over the world, flows together and meets you here. Life-giving water if you only open your heart and drink. Open your heart to the incredible gifts that civilization gives to us. You flip a switch and there's electric light. You turn a faucet and there's warm water and cold water. And drinkable water. It's a gift that millions and millions in the world will never experience. So these are just a few of an enormous number of gifts to which we can open your heart. And so I wish you that you will open your heart to all these blessings and let them flow through you. That everyone whom you will meet on this day will be blessed by you. Just by your eyes, by your smile, by your touch, just by your presence. Let the gratefulness overflow into blessing all around you. Then it will really be a good day.
I wasn't sure if you all left. Sometimes we need reminders, don't we? To be thankful, to be grateful. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "It is only with gratitude that life becomes rich." And Nancy Wolgemuth also wrote that, "Be thankful. God has commanded it for our good and for his glory." God commanded to be thankful. God's command to be thankful is not the threatening demand of a tyrant. Rather, it is the invitation of a lifetime, the opportunity to draw near to him at any moment of the day. And another quote by A.W. Tozer, "Gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God, and it is one that the poorest of us can make, and be not poorer, but richer for having made it." Webster's dictionary states, "Gratitude is a feeling that is thankful and appreciative for favor or benefits received." You know, it's a definition. You can come up with your own kind of idea of thankfulness and what takes place within that. But giving thanks, based on Webster's definition, is an external expression of gratitude. And it requires action. Thankfulness is, by the way, a main theme that runs throughout Scripture when we are called to give thanks in all circumstances. You know, when I was, when Pastor Mike and I were talking about this particular message series and my two messages, or three messages that, sorry, I guess I'm doing four. Four of the six. Whose series is it anyway? He just titled it. Anyway, it's just, you know, JR's thinking. Thinking of thankfulness, and when he and I were talking about this, I decided to go back to the Old Testament. That's crazy, right? I mean, most messages you hear probably are all New Testament related, but today we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture in Leviticus and how God teaches Israel how to offer gratitude and thankfulness to the Lord. And there are many components within this particular passage that we can apply today. You know, thankfulness, actually, the word trans, what do they call that? Wow. Huh? That's it. Thank you. My brain is in there somewhere. It's probably just rattling around. The word thankfulness is first used in the Bible in chapter 7 of Leviticus. And it's referring to the law of the sacrifices and specifically of the peace offering. So I know that this is a really long passage, but if you can see it past me, you can read along. Starting in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 11, we'll go to verse 15, says this, "And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offering, which we shall offer he," okay, let me just state something here real quick. When it's the small case, he is referring to the individual doing the offering, not the capital H, he, as the Lord. Okay, so, "which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering, and of it he shall offer one out of the whole obligation for a heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priests that sprinkle the blood of the peace offering, and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any until morning." I'm not sure how many of you in this particular service are Old Testament readers. I typically read Genesis, and then I skip like the rest of the Pentateuch, right? I just move right past all that law and, you know, don't shave and, you know, don't cut your sideburns. Anyway, some of you probably get that. But I decided to go with this, and I found so much in that that can apply to us today that I decided that I was going to totally go a different direction with what I normally do when I speak, and I'm going to break this down for you and try and apply it to us today when it comes to thanks, being thankful. Well, let me pray real quick. Father, as I present this message, which I fully believe you gave me for our congregation, I pray that it be blessed, but I also pray that it falls on good ears. Amen. Okay, so there are seven aspects, you could call them points for those of you that are taking notes, that I have pulled out from this particular passage. Well, there they are. So don't go beyond number one, because that's where we're going to start. All right, so number one, the peace offering. The sacrifice of thanksgiving was not a separate offering, but was a kind of peace offering. Okay, so there were multiple different types of peace offerings. This was one of them. The peace offering is an example of how Christ satisfied the wrath of God against sin and made peace between God and every sinner who believes and trusts in Jesus Christ. It is also a picture of inner peace that a believer will have through Christ. It's the peace of God which passes all understanding. Okay? This is a trustworthy statement. Our inner peace of mind is connected to our continual practice of thanksgiving. Colossians 3:15, which you won't see up there, teaches us to let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be thankful. One of the things you might have actually said to your children or heard it said, from the heart, the mouth speaks, right? This kind of applies to the inner peace that rules within the heart of the individual. We cannot have this peace apart from a thankful heart. It doesn't work that way. You can't have peace and not be thankful. If we are continually griping or complaining, if we always see only our needs and ignore our blessings, then we're not going to have the peace of God. We will be troubled, continually distressed and anxious. To have peace in our lives that radiates from within, we must be thankful. The second aspect is it's more than just one offering. And I don't want to really get it. I don't even fully understand all the offerings that the Israelites did all the time, but I've read a ton of stuff in the past couple of days. And for me to be able to communicate that would take the rest of the time, and so I'm going to try and break it down and condense it very simply for you. More than one offering, okay? This offering of thanksgiving is several offerings combined. It is to be made with unleavened cakes, unleavened wafers and cakes with fine flour. These different components of the sacrifice, they are different components of the sacrifice, but they're all commanded to be offered at the same time, okay? The Bible says we are to give thanks always for all things to God, okay? Here's the hard part. You know, you and I can't choose our favorites, and we can't ignore the unpleasant things. We must learn to be thankful in all things. Another component is bringing the yeast. And for those of you who are, you know, bread makers and chefs and cake connoisseurs, whatever, I don't know. I don't do any of that stuff, okay? So you know that yeast actually makes the bread rise, right? So unleavened doesn't have yeast, and so it's nice little flat wafers, kind of like our little piece of bread that we took this morning. So bring in the yeast. God makes an unusual condition in this particular offering or sacrifice. He commands, besides the unleavened cakes, you should also include leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So knowing that leaven is yeast, you also need to know that in Scripture, yeast refers to things that are false, things that are impure, that are sinful. It is continually viewed as undesirable and self-destructive. So what's interesting is God is asking, commanding actually, that they bring that offering on top of the clean, acceptable offerings. And so the point is that if we are to give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances, then we have to include the bad as well as the good. He already knows you better than you know yourself. God will work it out for the good for those that choose to follow him. The Apostle Paul learned to glory in his tribulations and to take pleasure in his infirmities, because Paul understood that God would turn it around to his own glory, to God's glory. So we must be thankful for all things. Number four is really interesting. It's a heave offering. Have any of you ever heard of the heave offering before? Okay. Nobody. Great. Means you're going to learn something today. So, a portion of this Thanksgiving sacrifice was to be given as a heave offering unto the Lord. Okay, a heave offering was lifted up toward heaven with extended arms as a type of presenting it to the Lord. Actually lifted up, arms extended. You guys ever do that? Some of you do, even on a Sunday morning. During what? Worship, right? You raise your hands unto the Lord. You are heaving your thanksgiving and praise and offering unto him. Now, I'm sure next Sunday you're going to come and go, I'm going to be thankful today, so I'm going to raise my hands. But just make sure you use soap and deodorant. I don't know. It's just the craziness in my mind. Okay, this action of raising your arms to the Lord shows us that our thanksgiving goes directly to him and is accepted by him. I'm sure, and you definitely don't want to raise your hand on this one, and I'm not going to ask the question, but there are times when you feel like your prayers or your praise goes right to the ceiling and bounces straight back to the floor. I don't have to look very far away to where I've felt that same way. However, my words or your words of thanksgiving go directly into God's presence and are immediately accepted by him. That's part of the heave offering. It's commanded and it's accepted because we are extending thanks and praise to him. I mean, this one you can answer yes if you really want to. Do you desire to speak words that go directly from your mouth to God's ears? Then speak words of thanksgiving to him. This morning on my way down here, I thought I would practice that myself, right? And I have about a 15-minute drive from where I live, and a little bit longer because I had to get out and move some limbs from the road. But I began to speak thanksgiving and praises to him. And then somewhere in there, it went to the things that I didn't like about me, the bad things, the hard things, the things I'm still trying to work through. But I was thankful for those as well. Thankfully, that didn't last very long, and I went back into the other stuff where I actually was speaking it. Now I'm driving, okay, so I didn't have my arms up around my ceiling. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made it here. But the point is, it's a heave offering. Number five, the sprinkling of blood. Sprinkling of blood. You know, sacrifices are an interesting thing. For a long time, I thought that they were just like cruel and gross. But do you know that the Jewish people, the Israelites, they had such concern for animals that it's actually even more so than the American culture. And really, a sacrifice is no different than us preparing, what do they call that, processing animals for food. So for those of you that are hunters or, you know, farmers, we have a few cattle farmers. If you've ever seen a cow get butchered, that's kind of the same process, okay? So the sprinkling of blood isn't some gross thing. They were very reverent about that. The sacrifice of Thanksgiving was to be offered with the sprinkling of blood of the peace offering. All of our Thanksgiving is based on one thing. You can't really, I do not believe in my mind or my heart that anyone can truly be thankful without one thing. That one thing is Jesus Christ. It's because of his shed blood for our sins that we can truly be thankful. Because our anchor, our foundation is on him. It's not in what we have. It's not in what we can do. It's not our abilities or our skills. It's not the great cognitive skills that we have. It's the fact that because of Jesus Christ and the shedding of his blood and us being anchored in him, that we can truly then be thankful. Our attitude of thankfulness is only possible because our sins have already been forgiven. And our soul, our eternal destiny has been secured. And that security is within the blood of Christ. Fellowship dinner. How many of you love dinner? How many of you love dinner with other people? Two people, great. Do none of you invite guests? Well, we're about to go to Thanksgiving. How many of you are having family over? Okay, unfortunately for some of you, I know that you're a slave in the kitchen at that particular point, so I apologize. I'm a guy, and I help my wife move the turkey from the pan, or however she does it, in the pan and out of the pan, and that's pretty much my whole job. So I am thankful for her for taking care of Thanksgiving dinner. Actually, a totally funny story, and I'm totally deviating off of my notes at this particular point. Last Thanksgiving, I wanted to honor my wife, and so we loaded our kids up in our Suburban and drove out to Rialto Beach, and we packed rolls and sandwich, you know, meat and cheese and, you know, all the little condiment stuff that you make sandwiches. And so our kids are so funny. They're like, how come we're boycotting Thanksgiving? I'm like, we're not boycotting Thanksgiving. We're giving your mom a break. We're boycotting Thanksgiving. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was so funny. We laughed about that. Okay, let me try and get back to where I was. Fellowship. It's a fellowship dinner. This is the coolest thing. The animal that was offered with the Thanksgiving sacrifice was to be eaten. Now, it is true that the priest had the right to select or take some of the meat and other offerings that people brought. That's pretty much how they ate, okay? So, but in this particular offering, in this peace offering, it was to be eaten, and eaten not just by the priest, but also by the person offering it. So they were able to come together, both the person offering the thanksgiving, the priest that is dealing with the sacrifice, and God, come together for a meal of fellowship. Having an attitude of thanksgiving draws us into closer relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but also with his people. We could also say the local church. We could also say family, friends, communion together. Number 7. I guess that's the last one on the list. is there were to be no leftovers. Anybody in here like leftovers? Okay, a few of you like me. I love leftovers, and my wife does a phenomenal job making more than enough. So typically, unless my older sons come home before me, I get to have leftovers. But in this offering, there was to be no leftovers. Everything had to be eaten on the same day. You couldn't save it until the morning. You couldn't cut really fine, you know, slices off it and dry it and use it like 3 weeks later for goat jerky. Everything had to be eaten that day. And I really think this is the reason why. It means that yesterday's thankfulness won't work for today. No matter how thankful and grateful you were yesterday, that was yesterday. And you can't carry any of that over for today and save any of today's for tomorrow. Today's thankfulness is for today. So be thankful today. I was also thinking about being thankful to the Lord and what that might look like, how it might sound, and how it could apply to us. And so I came up with another little list that you're not going to see up there. So being thankful to the Lord first gets our eyes off of ourselves, gets our eyes off of our problems, our troubles, our difficulties, and it gets it focused right back on Him. Being thankful to the Lord reminds us that we're actually not in control, but that we serve a mighty God who is. Being thankful to the Lord reminds us that God is the one who is the giver of all good gifts. We were never intended to be fully self-sufficient. Being thankful to the Lord means a heart of gratitude leaves no room for complaining. Honestly, it is impossible to be truly thankful and then filled with negativity and ungratefulness at the same time. Being thankful to the Lord means that it makes the enemy flee. Ooh, this one's good. Your action of thankfulness to the Lord will make the enemy leave you. They will stay away. It forces the forces of darkness can't stand to be around hearts that give thanks and honor to God. Being thankful to the Lord means that it invites His presence. Our spirits then become refreshed and renewed. He delights in our thankfulness and pours out His Spirit in favor over those who give honor and gratitude to Him. Thankfulness can only happen because you are truly connected to Jesus Christ. Now, whether it is the word thanksgiving, thankful, thankfulness, or thanks, the Bible refers to those over 144 times. So it is it's a pretty big theme with God, right? Where we can be thankful for each other, but also giving thanks to Him. And if you look, you can Google it if you really want to, you know, scriptures, biblical scriptures of thankfulness, you'll probably end up with more than you want to read. But I've chosen a few for you this morning. Are you okay with that? One of you is. Good. I'm not going to give the reference, but you're going to have to trust me on this one. They do all come from the Bible. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Do you think I just read that twice? Actually, I didn't. One is in Psalms 100, the other is in Psalms 118. You should, if you want to read more about being thankful, go to the Psalms. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the Lord, the Most High. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I will praise the name of God with song and shall magnify him with thanksgiving. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And finally, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks, and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Will you bow your heads? Close your eyes. Something like that. Just want to speak a prayer over you this morning. And after that, we'll conclude. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your amazing power and work in our lives. We thank you for your goodness and for your blessings that continue to pour out over us. We thank you that you are able to bring hope even through the toughest of times. Strengthen us for your purposes. Thank you for your great love and care for who you are, for all that you do, and for all that you've given. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your continual grace. Your mercies are new every morning. We thank you that you are always with us and you will never, never leave us. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, for his incredible sacrifice so that we can have freedom and life. Father, forgive us for not thanking you enough. We love you. Father, we need you today and every day. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, hope that you have an amazing, wonderful day. Remember to be thankful. And don't miss the opportunities to give the Lord thanks. But there's one more thing. If you are planning on sticking around a little bit, the staff who is left here need to pull all of our chairs and put them down. If there's one or two of you that might find it willing to fast just a little bit longer, we would totally appreciate your help. May the Lord bless you, and we will see you when we see you.